The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Film Vault. Welcome to the Film Vault, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Hope you're, holy crap, is New Year's already here?
Apparently, you're already drinking.
Hope you had a great New Year's.
That's pretty good.
I am Brian Bishop. That's Anderson. We are your hosts. Thank you for joining us for a special episode. And I say special because I think a lot of podcasts are sort of recording a lot of new content here in the this time of year.
Patting yourself on the back.
Cutting us on the back. Here's a little, there's a little room for you.
Please take your hands off me.
I'm more caressing you on the back. Mm-hmm. I'm rubbing your back. We are committed to delivering new content each and every week. We are delivering the top five movies you can stream right now.
It's a little gift from us. Hey, wait till you hear the commercial, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's really where it keeps giving.
So it's going to be a quick show, a two-segmenter, and we're still going to take a break because we're like old men, and we're very...
set in our ways.
Set in our ways. Can't not take a break, even though there's no need for a break. We'll tell you why at the break. Big news.
What?
Not really.
No, it's very small. Speaking of set in our ways, Anderson, how is it not defaulting to no every time you talk to me?
What? Oh, defaulting to no?
Anderson was checking the mics earlier, and I was trying to help him out. I'm like, you want me to switch from mic 3 to mic 4? He goes, nope. Yes.
That's true. I did do that.
Instantly, no.
I do default to no with you. You know who defaulted to no with me growing up? My entire life continues to do so today.
Father?
My dad. Everything.
Does he even know he's doing it?
I know. He's just one of those people. There's a few people in my life that they do it with everybody across the board. My dad's kind of that way.
Wow.
There's a girl that I know. She's really cool, super cool. Everyone likes her, but she defaults to no.
I hope I don't do that.
She'll be like, I was at work and it was really hard and I was like sore and stuff. I'm like, yeah, because you're working all day. She's like, no, it's because I was like at work all day and it was hard.
Yep.
Like, I want to fucking punch you right in the mouth.
You want to switch to mic 3 for mic 4?
You know what I did the other night? And I don't know why.
Yes.
The wife and I laying in bed. It's rare that we get to go to bed together because I work late hours and usually I come home. She's been asleep for hours and I stumble in. She actually was imitating me stumbling into the room the other day, like I was an old man with a lantern.
You're like anti-ninja.
But we were laying in bed, about to go to bed together. I snuggle in with the dogs, with three dogs, because that's the guy I am.
Are they all in bed?
All three.
Oh, dear.
Three little baby pups. God, they're warm and cuddly.
They're not babies anymore, though.
But they all look small.
They're small.
They're small and they're petite. Snuggly. They're snuggly, Brian.
I understand. Our dogs sleep with us.
Somewhere out of the blue, I forget what brought it on, but that awesome scene in Killer Joe with Matthew McConaughey and Gina Gershon and the drumstick.
I still have not seen it.
The drumstick. And I started talking about it. I'm like, I'll just show you on my phone. And now that's a dangerous thing because now you can just show people instantly.
Exactly.
You know? For the last few years now, almost anything you can think of is. So I start showing it to her and I'm realizing that this is probably a mistake because this is exceptionally violent to women. It's really not funny out of context.
Could be considered misogynistic.
And we don't get 30 seconds in. And she goes, all right, that's enough. She pushes my hand away. She goes, why would you even show me that? What's wrong with you? I'm like, it's true.
Yeah. It's a poor decision.
Sleep tight. After seeing that, Jesus Christ. What's wrong with me? I'm sorry, honey. You don't listen to this, but I apologize.
Well, another year of that, and she has to look forward to.
Yeah. All right, so what's up?
How was your new year?
It's not happened yet.
No.
Come on.
Truth be told, we're recording this out of order. We're both going away for a couple of weeks, and we're squeezing this in when we can. Hence, part of the reason why it's a shorter episode. But I will say, this will be one of our most informative episodes. You will get...
No. What? We're not going to inform them much. We're just going to let them know about some... I'm not going to go in depth about the movies. I'm going to say fucking awesome movies.
No, but we're going to give you a heads up as to some great movies you can stream online.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
I'm also spanning the gamut of genres
we're
here, Barbara.
We're spanning time.
Spanning the gamut.
Spanning time.
Got a lot of gamut. Got a lot of genres. Let's do it.
I've categorized mine. Oh, we're doing two.
What?
We're doing two segments. You want to start now and then finish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're going to do a whole segment.
No, I didn't know. What you wanted to.
Get to your number five.
First, mini fuck fashion. Mini.
Oh, Christ. No, mini. I told you not to.
I had the opportunity, Anderson, to see American Hustle for the second time.
Oh, my.
And we're going to talk about it briefly. Because I have some
But here's the problem. We just talked about it last week.
Oh, we did?
Yes.
Oh, should I talk about it again?
Yeah.
Now I feel stupid.
Don't talk about it. We talked about it enough last week. Let's move on.
Now I'm confused.
This is the problem with the folding time
order?
Folding time and space. Yeah, we talked about it at length last week.
Okay.
You and I both saw it for the second time and talked about it at length last week.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, now I feel stupid.
Yeah, you should.
For forgetting that
so
we did
So you
that.
Feel in place.
Like, yeah, exactly. I feel like I normally do.
The world is back to normal.
No, I'm not saying I feel bad. Okay. I'm saying, thank God, I feel stupid again.
Let's move on. All right. We're turning this into a banter segment, and I like That's what the After Disaster is for. By the way, great episode last week. Thank you for all your all of your kind words and people that loved having Mike Carano and Ty Ty on for the Christmas episode. Appreciate that. Appreciate all of those.
Since the After Disaster started, what percentage of Film Vault episodes have you mentioned the After Disaster in some form or another?
Oh, like 100.
100 easily 100.
Yeah. But both shows, back and forth.
What do you mean? Oh, on the After Disaster, you meant the Film Vault?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a fair play.
Every show I work on, I mention the Film Vault, all right? You fuck.
Me too.
Unlike you.
All the time.
Nope. Lies. Let's go.
Number five. Mm-hmm. I categorized them, and I tell you, we're living in a golden age, Anderson, of streaming films. I don't know if you know this or not. You probably noticed this.
No, I'm not aware. Of course.
It's better in the 50s, for example, for streaming movies online. I came across so many. Don't disagree. Don't cut it now. I came across so many, Anderson, so many great ones, and in the past, I could have been guilty of maybe going with some obvious ones. I remember recommending Ghostbusters online, and I think most of our audience is probably familiar with Ghostbusters. If you're not, go out and see it, or better yet, stream it. But I'm going to try and go for some ones maybe lesser known, or at least lesser known to the average film goer, ones that we've mentioned once or twice. And I also came across so many that I have two for every entry. So I will start.
Oh, you dick. I could have done that, but
extra
I backed
credit.
Off.
Extra credit.
Dude, no extra credit. So, first of all, I don't like doing this episode this time of year.
Why?
I feel like we should have done it 2 weeks ago. We should have done it right before the holidays because people have a bunch of time off. And it's like, hey, here's some heads up. Because people are probably ending the holidays, and they watched a bunch of shit movies.
Now, this is their last weekend off before work starts up again.
Well,
and
they get
like,
a weekend next
Let me just
weekend.
Relax, man. I just cleaned up from a New Year's party. I'm a little hungover still 2 days later.
Oh, I can do 10.
Yeah.
I can do 10, too.
Group it. Number five for me. I grouped them into, these are two documentaries from this year. Maybe you saw them, maybe you didn't. We mentioned them both briefly. First, I remember assigning you a band called Death, and I remember you liking it. I remember you saying that it was interesting and gave you a view into a band you didn't know much about.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Band called Death was, at the time, only available, I think, on iTunes or maybe Amazon. You had to buy it.
I think I bought it, yes.
Either way, now you can stream it, and will it be up for best documentary this year? Probably not. It wouldn't shock me. It's an interesting
documentary. It will not be.
Really? You don't think so?
No, it will not be.
Well, it's interesting. A Band Called Death is a movie that you can enjoy, you can rock out to. I say that kind of jokingly because the music's almost secondary to the plight of the band. And enjoyed it very much. A Band Called Death. It is streaming now on Netflix. And by the way, I didn't look and see if these are on Amazon. I assume most of them are. Most of the movies these days that are on Netflix are on Amazon. So go ahead and check out there. Geez, are you just going to write the whole time?
Yeah, well, now that I realize what I'm doing, if you're doing two.
Just pick
each,
one.
Go. You're going to do two each. Go two. What's the second one?
Second one. I don't remember.
Most unprofessional show we've ever done. I apologize.
No,
end of
no,
the
no.
year,
we've
we're
done
unwinding.
Far, we've done
we're
far
unwinding.
More. We've done far less professional
Well, you
shows.
Unwind and watch your movies that we're suggesting.
Yeah. You win. Listener benefits.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what you thought about Salinger documentary.
I thought it was
2013.
Okay. That was pretty good. But you know what? There wasn't much learned.
Really?
I didn't feel like I learned enough. No.
I found myself liking it more the later, the more I thought about it. Like, I actually ended up thinking about this movie a lot. Not in terms of, like,
okay, here's
major
the problem
life
with it.
Choices, but it was interesting.
You learn about the man's personal life, but I really don't care that much. I mean, all we know is one book from him, and it's not like he's some kind of figure where I'm like, gotta know more about that guy.
Like,
once we did
though,
learn.
Like, considering how much you love, like, Vonnegut and other authors.
I know
like
Vonnegut really well, though. I've read, like, 12,
books,
15
yeah.
of his books.
That's
yeah.
Good point.
You know what I mean?
But the fact that Salinger could have been a Vonnegut
It would have been really
time.
Cool if you peeled back the onion and it was like, holy shit, this guy's crazy. But it's not. He's just a recluse who has a family. He's kind of a dick to his family, and he likes to write in the woods.
But he achieved a level of fame that most of us will never know and then completely walked away from it. Could have done whatever he wanted in the business and maybe entertainment or in authorship, certainly, and willingly walked away. I think that is something that is
admirable.
No, not admirable. Looked at as unusual and maybe
You learn why he did that, too.
I think you really do. Anyway, those are my two. Band Called Death and Salinger, both documentaries from this year, are streaming right now.
I didn't realize it was already streaming. That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
There's just something so depressing about, you know, like a movie's coming out, all the hoopla, and you can't wait to see it. Mm. And it really is close to, like, when I say this with all sincerity. It is the closest thing I can think of to, like, dying. like going to the other side. Because you hear so much about heaven and after the afterlife. You know what I mean?
What you
hear
about?
So much about these movies before they come out. You see little clips and glimpses. You get little like ideas of what heaven's like in church. And then when you're actually sitting in the theater after all the workup, you're finally seeing heaven. You're finally seeing the other side. Like, this is what it's all about.
It's disappointing.
Like when it's a really good movie, it's just like you can hear the angels trumpet. And then, like, flash forward maybe 2 months, you're at the in the line at Ralph's, staring at People Magazine, Esquire, and the movies for like 1999,
right?
Bridesmaids, right there,
next to it.
It's just so depressing.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
It definitely has such a shiny new feel when you.
Salinger was just in theaters. It feels like 2 months ago. I was flick-fasting it for you, and now here it is. You can watch it instant.
Yeah. In terms of documentaries that are from this year, I almost went with Room 237 as one of mine, but. Didn't quite like it, and we talked about it way too much. But
all right, well, like before I only had one, it was still a documentary. I did not change that because of your documentary. So here, right off the top, the listener's going to get four solid documentaries that they're going to be recommended here.
Four?
Because I got two.
Okay.
And you just did two. And then I got no more documentaries.
Oh,
no more fucking around with the documentaries.
Okay.
All right, number five for me. A little movie I talked quite a bit about a few months ago, Sunset Strip. At the time, it was only available on, I believe, Showtime and HBO. This is a good documentary. My buddy Mike Carano loved it. I knew he would. It's the history of the Sunset Strip going way back to the 20s. I love my history lessons. It's also very cool because we live out here and we drive that Sunset Strip. And to us, it's just an eyesore and it's a place to avoid.
It's
and
just
we
a
hate
bunch
it.
Of traffic that no one wants to be in.
But there's definitely a lot of history and glamour that used to be to it. So it's and I don't think you have to live out here to actually appreciate the
No, because everyone knows the. I mean,
have you seen this one?
No, but I saw the mayor of the Sunset Strip.
A lot of
characters, involved.
similar titles, but very different movies.
But a lot of the same characters.
A lot of douchery going on in this movie. A lot of douchery.
Is Aleister Crowley in this?
Could be.
Yeah, so I
don't know.
Familiar with a lot of the characters. Okay.
But check it out. Sunset Strip streaming now. Give it a shot. And also,
Should
a movie that
right.
for sure will be, I don't know, who cares, will surely be up. I can't imagine a world where Blackfish is not up for a documentary, best documentary of the year. It has already aired now on CNN. It's a lot of people have talked about it. If you have not, I'm going to tell you right now, The Cove, you should be scared of The Cove. The Cove will fuck you up. Blackfish, not as much, but it is informative, and I think that it's, I rarely say this, but it's an important movie to see.
Okay.
I think people should educate.
They're both streaming now?
Yeah, Blackfish and the old Sunset Strip.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said The Cove and Blackfish.
The Cove, maybe, but I'm saying,
sure.
You know,
it won
go
best
in.
Documentary, you've probably seen it.
Careful with The Cove, because that one continues to fuck me up.
Mm.
And I still get the little text updates, too, because I
really
signed
up.
A lot of the time, at the end of a movie, they're like, sign up here. Like, you know, it's everyone's asking you to go to their website. It's like on the side of a milk carton. It's like, come see how Cudson makes some. I don't care. I can't imagine why you even bother. Like, follow Carl's Jr. on Twitter. Why would anyone do that?
I understand.
But at the end of The Cove, I was in the theater. No, actually, I saw it at home. I was at the home wiping the tears out of my eyes and signing up. For the
crying onto your phone.
And it's a mistake, too, because I don't do anything. It's just about once every 2 weeks, I'll get a.
You're
like,
reminded
update.
To feel bad about
it. I'll be
dolphins.
At Costco. It's like 2,000 dolphins were slaughtered today, and it all begins again. I just start tearing up. I'm like, I'm just trying to buy my.
You nits it. You got a cheese.
By my 5 pounds of dog treats.
For my tiny dogs.
All right.
Okay, number four. Number four are a couple of comedies.
Oh, look at this.
One small. Well, both small. One, I was listening to a podcast you're maybe familiar with called The Moth. It's an NPR podcast.
They tell stories.
They do. And one of the storytellers was a female director. Her name is Tamara Jenkins.
Oh, I like her.
And she directed The Slums of Beverly Hills.
Right, she did.
And you can stream Slums of Beverly Hills right now. It's from 1998.
Did you like it, though?
I did.
Had bits and pieces that were great.
There were bits and pieces that were great. There was overall not. That wasn't the sustaining great movie I'd hoped it would be. But I ended up. Again, much like Salinger, liking it more as time went on. Like, I have more fond memories of it. I think I remember the good things about it much more than I remember the
Nick Nolte?
No. Alan Arkin and Natasha Lyonne, young Natasha Lyonne.
Nick Nolte falls in the pool.
I don't think he's in this.
All right.
Shit, unless
Go
I'm
ahead.
Really fucked up.
No.
No, this is Natasha Lyonne and Marissa Tomei's in this. She's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's streaming now. You can watch Slums of Beverly Hills. I don't know if it's a great movie. It's a very good movie and some very funny, witty, quirkity. Some good quirkity going on. This is a good version of a quirkity.
It's kind of a forgotten movie.
It is, under the radar. Another one came out last year. I don't know if you liked this as much as I did, Anderson, but I really enjoyed Mike Birbiglia's Sleepwalk With Me. And you can stream it right now. He plays Mike Pandemiglio. Mike Birbiglia is Matt Pandemiglio, excuse me. And he's great as a sort of semi-autobiographical. He directed it. He wrote it. Up-and-coming stand-up comic, life on the road, just getting his feet, some of the vagaries of performing live and life on the road. Good stuff. I enjoy Sleepwalk with Me very much.
If you've never heard that Birbiglia story ever, it's going to be a great movie. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you've heard it 9 fucking times by the time you see the movie, I don't know if it's going to hold up.
All right. Well, if you're one of the ones who's not super familiar with Mikey Birbigs, then check it out. You'll
like
Sleepwalk.
A great introduction to the Birbigs.
Yeah. And a good introduction to sort of what life is like, I guess, for a up-and-coming stand-up.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
He's a likable character.
Indeed. He's a very likable guy.
All right. Brian does comedies. Watch this. Right back at you. Game of Squash.
Oh!
Couple comedies for you.
Sure.
I'm going to go with Where the Hell Are My Comedies? Okay. Where are the comedies? Oh, yeah. They're there. Number two, it's a movie that I flicked fast not too long ago. I was actually really, really excited to talk about It's a Disaster, Brian. It's a 2012 comedy. It's streaming now. Written and directed by an actor, which is a lot of the time a bad sign, but it actually worked here. It's about the end of the world is coming, possibly. But you're not actually sure, and there's a bunch of couples that are gathered together for a dinner. And boy, does it deliver. It's just a really, really funny, forgotten movie.
It's
and
a
no
recent
one,
movie, right?
No one saw this movie. I don't know why. I don't know what the problem was. But
this
no
is
one,
a recent movie?
Very, 2012. Yeah. I don't even remember seeing it in the theaters. If it was, it came and went so quickly.
I think the first time I heard about it was from you.
And I don't know what the problem is, but this is a very sharp, witty, funny, clever movie with really good acting.
Who's in it? Do you have it written down, or do you remember?
Give me a second. Okay. 1 second here. Second.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it. I just don't remember.
Logan, if you don't cut this part out, you're fired in 2014.
Wouldn't that be funny if it was left in?
Oh, for sure it will be.
Yeah. Well, Logan, it was nice knowing you. By the way, we're accepting applications now for new producer.
I think that might be going too far.
Well, you obviously missed this.
Despite the fact that Julia Stiles is in this, actually, she's very good in this. I just have a bad taste in my mouth because she ruined a season, of Dexter. Fucked up on all accounts there. She fucked up an entire season. Well, it wasn't her fault. You know, it's just not a good character.
Okay.
But David Cross is in this, America Ferrara.
Who's the one who wrote and directed it?
Julia Stiles. He's also barely in it, but the guy that wrote and directed it is Todd Berger.
Okay.
Who, you know, it's a small little fun movie and it's hilarious.
Okay.
I loved it.
I'm in.
Loved it.
What else you got for comedies?
And then my other comedy. This is arguably a comedy. Actually, IMDb says it's action crime drama.
Okay.
And I've talked about it a lot on the show. But I don't know if I've ever mentioned the fact that if you have not seen Get the Gringo, it's time.
It's time.
You see Get the Gringo.
It's true.
And it's a comedy.
This is a comedy.
This
is a dark comedy.
And it doesn't say anything about comedy on the old IMDb Internet Movie Database there at the top where it says the genres. And it's got it listed as an action crime drama. This is a movie.
That's not fair at all. It's an action crime drama.
Yeah, that's what they got it listed
as. It definitely is foot forward comedy.
This is Mel Gibson back at doing what Mel Gibson does best.
Yes.
And you get the sense that he directed it. He did produce it. He didn't direct it. Somebody else directed it. That doesn't matter, though. It doesn't come into play. It's a solid movie. It's well directed. It's got a 10-year-old that smokes. You also get to see his innards. It's a good movie.
This is
it's
another
a very
one that
dark,
kind of
funny movie.
You almost kind of came and went. Then when I learned about it, I was like, that was a decent movie.
It's a movie about the border. It's a movie about Tijuana. It's a movie about jail in Tijuana. And I got to tell you, I went to research it right after I saw it. I immediately ran and researched. I think I wrote it up on my little website over there, AndersonCallen.com. If it turned out that it was all fiction, I would have been really impressed with how inventive they were.
Right.
But I knew that if it was nonfiction, that if it was based on reality, I would like the movie that much more.
Wow.
Turns out it was definitely based on reality.
Wow.
This prison is crazy. I'm not going to say a whole lot other than it's in Tijuana. So just imagine how corrupt it is. You could actually,
it's a little village.
If you had enough money, and a lot of the criminals in there did.
Right.
You could actually have your family live in there with you.
Yeah, it's a little village.
And a lot of people in the little town, in Tijuana, if they were running from the cops, they'd run into the prison to hide from the cops. It's that kind of scene, that kind of environment that you're in for a couple hours there with Get the Gringo. Mel Gibson, think what you want about him. He's still a very compelling actor. And he was great in this.
He does the Mel Gibson thing very well in this. He's sort of a badass man of few words.
And I think this could have been, I don't want to say like a huge success, but I think if people would have liked it, it would have had a pretty decent run. But it kind of was released right during the shitstorm, the eye of the storm of Mel Gibson.
The whole Mel Gibson thing.
When he was talking about his hatred of Jews.
Sure. Well, they own Hollywood. Number three for me, a couple of foreign language films, Anderson.
Oh, no.
And I believe both of these were assigned to me by you. Number one.
What a shocker.
Of the lighter variety, a movie called The Untouchables.
Oh, shit.
Is that on your list?
No, it's not.
Okay.
I'm making up my list as we go.
Well, there you go. The Untouchables is streaming now. You just crossed something out.
Intouchables.
The Untouchables.
I thought you said Untouchables.
No, The Untouchables is streaming now. It's from 2011. It is a French language film, and it is really, really fun. This is a real crowd pleaser. A lot of fun. I think you'll enjoy this movie. A very enjoyable movie. I would say watch this on a date. You know, a date at home, and a cuddle up by the fire. Snowing outside, you're snowed in. This is a good one. I don't know if the kids can watch this. They might be kind of bored.
Oh, they'd be bored shitless.
Yeah. But I think it's a good date movie for a couple of adults. And
you got a kid that reads a lot, wears glasses, gets picked on in school. He might be able to do it.
He might like it. Yeah, yeah. Well, young bald Brian,
would you think this?
Yeah, I think a young balding Brian would have gone for this.
I think like a 15-year-old Anderson would have loved it, because that's when he was like trying to understand and appreciate.
Yeah, when I say young, I mean like mid-high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one, very good, but very different. Very different, but also enjoyable. Headhunters. 2011.
Oh, so good.
Norwegian film.
You know, that's like the biggest Norwegian film ever made. It's their Avatar,
sure,
and Total Recall and Terminator, and
yeah,
it all
kind of
it wrapped into one.
Inception,
it is
too.
Their movie.
Yeah, Headhunter is very good. Directed by Morten Tildum. I just like saying the names. This is a more of a thriller, a Norwegian thriller. And you can stream it now. Very different than Untouchables, but also very fun, very good, and definitely character unraveling in this. And may have come up on top five character unravelings, actually. Even where we started talking about it.
Headhunter's
good.
Naked doing this episode, because usually I come in here with a ton of research and stuff behind the movies. But for the purposes and the sake of the show, I get bitched at a lot via my website for certain things, and a lot of it's like spoilers. Like just recently, I meant to actually print out the email. Somebody was very upset with me for ruining Gravity for them because I was talking about how terrible the dialogue is.
The fact that there was dialogue,
and they're suggesting that is spoiling the movie for them. Now,
hey, let me just fucking say something about spoilers,
man. I agree with you there. I'm not giving away plot points. I'm just talking about what I found wrong with the movie. However, at the time when I was saying that, I said if you don't notice it, or if you're not looking for it, you might be able to just be taken aback by the spectacular 3D.
Right.
So I don't want to ruin it. And I even said fast forward a couple minutes, and it took me like 5-6 minutes, and then I brought it up again as I'm wont to do, Brian.
Yep.
I continue to go back to the well.
You want.
But I don't want to. For all that being said, the reason I bring that up is I less is more. A lot of these movies, like one I'm going to talk about, I'm barely going to say anything about it.
Because
I went in not knowing shit, and I really enjoyed it.
This is what we need to have. What we need to do, Anderson, you know what we should do for 2014 is come up with a Film Vault spoiler manifesto, because we really need to define what a spoiler is. Because number one, this is a movie show. We need to talk about movies. Number two.
Yeah, I know, but you do it differently. I mean, you do talk about the ends of movies.
No, I never go
away
the ends of movies.
Do.
I never, ever do.
Yeah, you do.
I'm very sensitive to that. I would never give away the end of a movie. I also never give away like a character's death or like some major plot points.
Right, you want to do an episode all on like where the bad guy wins.
I really do.
How did we do that?
We're not going to, though.
No.
That's my thing. I would never do that. However.
Off-screen deaths.
That'd be good, too.
No.
But however, you have to. We're a movie show. You have to talk about the movie. You have to talk about the parts of the movie. The ups and the downs. What was good about it, what was bad about it. The more vague, the worse the show. Go listen to another show if you want to be vague.
But
we're
I can
not give away the ending, but we're going to talk about the movies.
I can appreciate. I mean, I can appreciate just looking at a number, knowing like you look at IMDb and you're like, oh look, it's 7.5. That means that it's probably pretty good. Oh look, this movie's terrible. It's a 2.3. Mm. Knowing nothing more sometimes is good. I think the point is you should probably watch more movies and then listen to us discuss them. It's mainly with the brand new movies that people are upset by, and I get that. You want to go in clean. You want to go in fresh.
I agree with that, which is why when I'm talking about an older movie like Chinatown, I was talking about the ending of Chinatown.
You were definitely talking about it.
That's
a crazy ending and final.
That's fucked up because we are a movie show, and that is a classic movie. That is considered maybe one of the top 30 or 40 or 50 films
ever made.
A lot
of people still haven't seen it, Brad.
I think if you're listening to a movie show about movies and then a classic movie comes up from 30 or 40 years ago.
I understand your point.
And the classic thing about it is the ending.
But
it
you're
has
wrong.
To be. I don't think I am.
I understand your point.
I'm not going.
No,
I'm not going to give away the ending gratuitously, but if it comes up in the course of here's why this is a classic movie,
duly noted.
You know, Luke, I am your father, that kind of stuff. I know.
Brian!
Blasphemy.
Who
but
said
you know
it?
What I'm
Maybe
saying.
Han Solo said it.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
This Yoda said it. This is where it gets absurd.
Yoda did say
you
it.
Can take it so far as to say, like, well, we can't
was
talk
that
about
Star
anything.
Trek 3 or 4?
Voyage Home is where they save the whales.
Number. Are we on 3 already? What's going on?
No,
here?
Yeah, three for you.
Wow.
I did a couple of foreign language films.
All right, here we go. If you missed a movie called Old Boy in the theaters,
foreign language
Spike
film.
Lee's, he could have called it Ghost Boy because no one saw it, no one talked about it. It kind of
came.
Is it still lingering in theaters as we do this?
I really have no idea.
Anyways, what they were going after, I didn't see the remake.
By the time this comes out, probably not.
Full disclosure, did not see the remake. Unless Brian assigns me it, I will never see the remake, and I'm not asking you to assign me it. That's the only way that
I would assign it
okay.
to you.
Well, because you're mad at me.
Oh,
trying
okay.
to punish me like
I never would
like I do to you but the original Old Boy
like I do to you
is available on the old fuck flicks there. You can watch it and highly recommend. This is a piece of art. To sound douchey and pretentious, I don't give a fuck. It's a piece of art. It's artistic.
Okay,
it's a great movie. I love it.
It is very good.
It's fantastic.
I don't think I liked it as much as everyone else, but it's very good.
The fact that Spike the Fuck Lee was allowed to touch it.
Right.
It's just, you know, one of the many, you know, dozens and thousands, hundreds of things that are wrong with Hollywood.
Sure. Injustices.
It's just miscalculations.
It's not
like,
right.
of all
it's
the directors, right. why him?
I agree.
You watch that movie and you can think, let's say it has to be remade, and you come up with a list of 50 working directors. Is Spike Lee on that list? No. I mean, there's nothing.
Apparently, he was at the studio.
I don't know. Maybe he went to them. I don't know the whole story. I just, you know, you guys have been tweeting me and letting me know about him directing Old Boy since it was announced like 2 years ago. I still get, can you believe it? It's like, and I just avoid. I avoid because it hurts.
No, I don't believe it.
It just makes no sense.
I choose to shut it out.
And it hurts. It's like loving a sports team and your least favorite player in the league gets traded to your team. It's like, what do you do now? You know what I did back in the day when Bobby Brister, Steelers.
Quarterback for the Steelers?
Steeler quarterback, yeah.
Forgotten just, quarterback for the Steelers?
I just became a Buffalo Bills fan.
When you, he went
you know
to the Bills?
What, you know what happened when Ben Roethlisberger became their quarterback?
You
just stopped
back?
Watching football.
Oh, stop.
Done! I'm done. Finished.
You can't do Ben?
I can't do Ben.
Can't do Ben.
Hey, fuck that guy.
I really hate when announcers call him Ben. Ben drops
I
back.
Know. I don't watch.
Ben's in the pocket.
Don't know.
His name's right. Roethlisberger.
So, yeah, Old Boy. Better yet. I shouldn't say better yet, but if you missed Catching Fire, that giant winter blockbuster that Brian made me watch, the what is it? The Hunger Games, yes, of course. I wasn't trying to do that. I hate when hipsters do that. I do. Like, I don't know when Super
What's
Bowl Sunday
again?
Is. Saturday?
Yeah.
But no, I forgot the name, Hunger Games. But 2000, a little Asian movie called Battle Royale.
Ooh.
I've been saying it for a while. I think it might have even been on our last instant stream.
It may have been. It may have been.
It's hilarious. It's dark. And
it's another
crazy.
One that's on my queue, man. I got to put all these movies on my queue.
And it's very similar to the old Hunger Games. It's there's an act, a new act. I had it all written down, but I've lost it now. But the government essentially, for sake of sport and entertainment, they get a bunch of ninth graders together and they pick them and they say, hey, you guys got to go out and kill each other.
All right.
For the sake of our entertainment. Check it out, Brian. What's wrong with you?
It's been on my thing forever.
And you know what? If you still got too much eggnog and candy canes in your up inside you, this is a good way to get them out.
Good way to... Go ahead and flush the system.
Yeah.
All right.
Get back to the real world of ninth graders.
Stop
battling. Battle Royale 2000.
Check it out. Coming up next.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we're already halfway through.
Logan, thanks
coming
for the
next,
music, buddy.
The conclusion. Good music.
So what is the music? Do you have the music?
We're going to announce at the top of the... I might as well give them two
just
plugs,
just
because
not.
We always do anyway. We only have two segments. You're listening right now to Utah... No, the Split Infinitives. They're from Utah. The Split Infinitives from the state of Utah. The Split Infinitives 1, the number 1, .bandcamp.com or AndersonandBrian.com. Coming up next, the conclusion.
Ooh, speaking of Utah, thought of a great reality show today, which I rarely do.
Okay.
Gays living in Utah. Gay couple.
That's the show.
That's the entire show.
That's the show.
Them just wandering the streets.
I'm sure there are gays in Utah.
I know. It'd be a great show. I'd watch it.
Coming up next, including the top 5 streams you can watch instantly. Now, movies.
Feeling bad, Brian, for the listener, because we didn't get him anything for Christmas.
I know. We showed up empty-handed to our own party.
You know what we did? This is not a lie.
What was that?
We turned down some horrible, I don't want to say horrible, but some
inappropriate
unnamed
sponsors.
Advertiser. That,
inappropriate. When I say inappropriate, I don't mean like, you know, not un-PC. I just mean not right
for
our
audience. With our audience. Yeah.
Yeah,
we didn't want to insult our audience with something crappy. So
who wants that crap, I believe, came out of your mouth?
Yeah, so not our listeners. We're not going to subject them. So instead, you get this.
What's that?
This right here. This is
no spot.
Well, no spot.
No commercials.
They're getting this.
Yeah, but this is better than a commercial.
We should have thought this out better, given them.
I disagree.
Should have given them a little extra pick or something.
Stick to your script.
There's no script.
See, that's what I'm saying.
What? Behind the curtain?
Thanks, you guys, for a great year. 2014 is going to be even better. Our gift to you is not a very good gift, but it is no commercials this show, so let's get right back to the show.
Wait, we just made commercials seem so bad. Like, negative commercial is the gift.
Shit.
There's going to be a couple commercials kind of in the new year, guys. Right.
No, they're going to be sponsored spots.
Yeah.
Ads.
The stuff that we sign off on.
Back to the show.
Yo, it's Ice Cube, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com.
Welcome back. Thanks again. The Split Infinitives, Utah's own The Split Infinitives. Check them out, AndersonandBrian.com. There's links to all their shit, all their music, all their tunes. Thanks, Brian. You guys.
In the future, the Japanese government captures a class of ninth grade students and forces them to kill each other under the Revolutionary Battle Royale Act.
Now, what are we talking about now?
That's the IMDb, a little...
The Hobbit?
Battle Royale. But yeah, Battle Royale. Not The Hobbit, Brian. I got you. Very different than The Hobbit.
Very different.
Yeah.
Desolation of Smaug.
However, Smaug. Hobbits being forced to kill each other, that'd be fun.
That'd be something.
Yeah. I've decided, and I think I've talked about it last week, but Hobbits...
Has any Hobbit ever died?
That's what I was going to say. They're like the new Ewok. They don't fucking die. I guess they turn into... to what's his name every now and again?
What's that?
What's that dude's name?
Bilbo?
No, the one that goes...
Oh, that wasn't a Hobbit though. But that
I think he was. I think if you know the story, like if you go back to the origins, he was a Hobbit who became so obsessed with the goddamn ring, he became that.
No shit.
I like that. That makes me almost want to like that.
That's Gollum.
Gollum. I shouldn't say I don't like it. It's just it is what it is.
Number two,
Dragons.
For me. Smaug. I got a couple more documentaries. These ones are documentaries about movies, and these are great.
These are worthy
entry in my number two. First, a movie I think you may have assigned to me, or at least I learned from you. Clean Flicks, 2009.
Oh, yeah.
Clean Flicks, very, very good. Speaking of Utah and Mormons and gays. Directed by Joshua Leggiari and Andrew James. There's a documentary about...
You think they bang?
Joshua and Andrew?
Yeah.
I would assume so. Spent a lot of time in the edit bay together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'd almost have to at that point.
This movie's about the Mormons.
This is a company who was making clean versions of Hollywood movies. They were editing all the naughty bits and presenting them as family-friendly. You can watch Die Hard without anybody getting killed or shot or blood being spurted everywhere.
That's a really hard death.
That's true. It
doesn't happen.
Some of these movies are very, very short. Some of them can't be edited.
Such as?
I don't remember. What were the ones?
It was Brokeback Mountain. They're like, there's nothing we can do with this.
We cannot save this.
There's nothing.
That was funny. But there is a great twist in Clean Flicks. I remember it coming about two-thirds of the way through. And I was like, holy crap!
So good.
I did not see that coming. But good stuff. I love Clean Flicks very much. Very
satisfying.
It's very satisfying on a lot of levels, this movie. Yeah. I recommend you guys see Clean Flicks. And another good one. Oh, kind of about the same thing in a way. Another side of the same issue. From 2006. This film is not yet rated. Directed by Kirby Dick. I really like that movie. I think it's one of my favorite all-time movies. It may have been one of my top five movies about movies. In fact, I think it was number three, if I remember correctly. Great movie. Loved it. It's about the MPAA and the ratings system, the ratings board, and the inequalities and the iniquities that go on the ratings board, and how they treat certain subjects differently, how they treat certain studios and independents differently.
It's got intrigue, too, and spy film quality.
There's some levels of this movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It really is.
This is a good version. We say it a lot when we see documentaries, like, this could have been a 60-minute segment, or this could have been an hour-long TV news magazine special. This takes what could have been a 60-minute segment, a really good one, and expands it into a really good feature length.
Yeah, it didn't feel too long. The only thing I have against this movie is it stole one of my many ideas that I've never done anything with. I had this idea, except the title. My title wasn't quite as good. My title was going to be Fuck the MPAA, and it was going to be F, and then you know,
sure, start. Sure, the, yeah, okay. Ampersands.
But I was so mixed emotions when I saw this movie because I'm like, that's what I wanted to do, something similar, really, investigate the MPAA and their workings and how are these people allowed to make these choices. But very well done.
Yes, I like that movie a lot. This film is not
this
yet rated.
This film is not yet rated. Ironically, it got a NC-17 rating.
Really?
No.
Oh, I was going to say.
That would have been pretty cool.
That would have been awesome.
They strong-armed them.
Try to shut them out.
MPAA is like, well, fuck with us,
exactly.
Actually, with movies like that, it doesn't even matter. I think it was probably not ever rated.
I was about to say, was that movie probably screened for the MPAA rating board?
I doubt it.
That'd be awesome.
I don't think
they saw themselves being hunted down by private investigators.
If you're a small little documentary,
oh my God, it's my car,
and you realize that you're just going to play like at the art houses and go straight to video or like on demand or whatever, yeah,
it costs money.
The biggest thing with ratings is to get your movies in the big theaters,
yeah, exactly.
The big multiplexes,
big chains, AMC's of the world.
So dumb. All right, so Ryan, here we go. Number two, zipping along here. Number two for me. Going with a classic.
Ooh.
In all senses of the words. But I think a lot of people may have missed this Sergio Leone movie. And that's... All right.
What is it?
Sergio Leone. Going with a classic, Brian.
What is it?
Spaghetti Western that's been kind of forgotten.
Okay.
Once Upon a Time in the West.
Oh, that's streaming?
Streaming, yeah. Motherfuckers!
For the record, I like this movie a lot more than I like any of the three.
I don't agree with Brian and anything he's saying right now. It's a great movie. It is. Don't get me wrong, but it's missing Clint for me, okay? It's
agreed, missing. But as a movie, this is a better movie.
But
it's much more accomplished.
It is the forgotten. However, number 23 in all-time IMDb on the all-time list. It is not a scant 175 minutes.
No, very long.
But this is one of the classics that it's kind of essential. Yeah. Film viewing. You
this
have
could
to
be considered.
One.
I would consider if we did top five westerns, this might be on top of my list.
This would definitely make my top five. I would say
it's great.
Do you ever see the other three?
The other three of this?
No, the other three.
I saw all three of those spaghetti westerns. The Conflict Festival. I think on the same week.
Because I gave you the
you gave me
Blu-ray,
the box set
a few years ago for Christmas.
And I appreciate it. And I watched it.
Finally,
2 years later.
1968 classic number number 23 on the all-time IMDb list.
Really good. But surprising to think
great
it was
cast,
only about
too.
5 years after the Spaghetti Westerns.
There's like no dialogue for the first like 30 minutes or something.
Yeah. Jason Robards is in this.
Yes.
Peter Fonda.
Yes.
Cardinale, who's the woman? Who's the Claudia Cardinale? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Brian.
They've never written it down.
Brian. What did I say about
Sorry.
Not talking about
sex? Sorry about that.
What did I say to you?
I feel bad now.
This is the one episode that I didn't come in with a ton of research and notes. I've said that in the show.
It's a really good movie, though. Yeah, Jason Robards is great in this.
Cardinale, isn't it? Henry Fonda. Jason Robards. Yeah. Charlie Bronson.
That's right, Charles Bronson. Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
The enforcer.
Oh, you just ruined it for everyone.
Oh,
you don't find out he's bad till the end.
That's right. He's
also, quest. Brian, big not quest. A classic, but in my mind, a near classic.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love Margin Call. Margin Call.
Save!
What?
It's my number one.
Is it really?
It is.
What? We gotta stop doing this. I'm feeling like I'm touching your privates. I don't like it.
I don't mind it. Of all the films streaming on Netflix, and there must be, God, there's gonna be over 1,000 by now. Margin Call.
There's over 7,000.
Let's just segue right into my number one. There you go. Thousands at this point. Margin Call is fantastic. It is my number one.
Now, okay, it was 2012 that I found We Need to Talk About Kevin, and I was just smitten and blown away, and just one of the greatest movies I've ever seen.
Came up on character studies a couple years
and,
ago.
My love for American Hustle is definitely there, and it's going to come up for the Vaulties for sure. Mm. But I think my greatest discovery, my favorite thing that I discovered this year is J.C. Chandor, and I will see anything that man makes. The fact that he made Margin Call. And he made All Is Lost is just unbelievable. I can't believe that a guy is this talented out there having this kind of range.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Margin Call was up.
And I saw him out of order.
You just saw Margin Call a few months ago.
Yeah,
right?
You were talking highly about Margin Call a few months ago, and Eric, when it came out like 8 months ago, it bothered me that you liked it so much. You made it sound boring, and I had no interest in it.
You defaulted to no.
Then I saw All Is Lost. I'm like, yeah, I might as well check out this Margin Call because All Is Lost is fucking phenomenal.
By the way, nominated for Best Original Screenplay, and you still had no time.
No interest. Because of you.
Because of me.
I just picture you writing it. I don't like it. Association.
Anyhow, Margin Call is a very good movie. I'll just stream right into my number. Oh, get that? How I did that? My number one. A couple of really good recent movies you may have missed. Margin Call. For an Oscar-nominated film, this went surprisingly under the radar. I still have a lot of people who never heard of it. They don't know what it is.
I don't understand what that's about. Why is that? Because no one dies? Or maybe
you know
no
what?
One
it's
dies?
Got a big cast, too, which is surprising. It's got like a recognizable big cast, ensemble cast.
And it's,
I think what it is the there's almost, well... When I say
lack of
no,
action,
when I say almost no plot, what I mean is it's a hard plot to get into. It moves fast. It doesn't stop for explanation. And it's all about the tone and the characters and how urgently they
move. It might be hard to sell.
Hard to sell. And I think a lot of the terminology is difficult. I don't think people really know a lot about the
really?
Economics.
Oh, I don't know shit about economics. And I wasn't like ever lost.
Not lost, but it's not easy to follow like it would be, a rancid comedy or something like that.
Well, Brian.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's hard. You're right. It's hard to sell. Anyway, Margin Call. Tied for me at number one. My other number one really good recent movie you may have missed was a film that you introduced me to, and I'm forever grateful, Anderson.
Uh-huh.
It may find its way into the Vaulties. Uh-huh. The Sapphires. I don't know if it'll find somewhere in the vault. These
God,
goddamn
Brian loves
I enjoyed this movie. I really enjoyed it.
That's your
it.
Movie, though.
Came out earlier this year, 2013. This is a...
Another reason why I didn't like it, the entire time I'm watching it, I'm like, picturing you watching it with glee.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. Directed by Wayne Blair. This is starring Chris O'Dowd. It is a,
he's great.
It's a great
They're
movie.
Great.
Really enjoyable. People compare it to Dreamgirls, and I think that's a racist thing to do just because it stars black singing women. It has very little to do with Dreamgirls.
No, it's much more similar to 20 Feet from Stardom.
Yeah, much more. Or The Full Monty,
Brian,
or even League of Their Own.
Black singers, that's why I did that.
What? Oh, but it is kind of similar to 20 Feet from Stardom. It is kind of similar to that.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. The Full Monty, I would say, or even A League of Their Own is a much more apt comparison. You know, the guy who's brought in to coach the women, blah, blah, blah.
That thing you do.
Yeah, very much that thing you do.
Yeah.
Very much.
Not as good.
Those are all good movies. And
not as good. Well, you didn't see the real That Thing You Do, Brian.
I know,
you saw the director's cut, which
long.
Was like dull.
Meandering.
Yeah. Aimless.
Aimless.
Turns out Tom Hanks was gay.
Anyway, the Sapphire.
His character.
Spoiler alert. Anyway, the
Sapphire. Well, it's not in the real one.
That's a good point.
Doesn't matter.
Informs your viewing.
Hey,
Sapphire
is that kind
margin
of,
call.
I'm sorry. I've been stepping all over you. Go ahead.
They're
both. They're both good.
Steamroll.
Margin call. And
the
Sapphires.
Yes. Both very good.
Does it count as, if you come up with some fan fiction on a character, does that count as spoiling?
Not at all.
Okay.
Well, it depends on, you know, if it was like Darth Vader comes back to life and is like, oh my God, you died? Then
you're right.
That's right.
Or even if he died like at the ripe old age of 95, it's like, oh, he didn't die in the movie then?
That's right.
Yeah, you got to be careful with the big stuff, I guess. But if you said, hey, no, okay, never mind. Doesn't matter. All right, number one for me, Brian. All right. This is a horror thriller, Brian. My two top twos are horrors.
Ooh.
One's horror thriller.
Horror thriller?
One's comedy horror.
Okay.
Not long ago, I was going on and on about Grabbers, and here we go. Grabbers, in case you haven't seen it yet, Grabbers, it is available on Instant.
I gotta see this, too.
It's a great little movie.
I'm going to need your list when you're done with
it. It's hilarious. It's about Irish people and aliens, and it doesn't take long for them to realize that the aliens are allergic to alcohol, so the whole small little town's got to get loaded.
Nice.
Great story. Great actors. I love them. I flick fest it a while ago. I've talked about it a few times, and it is available at a Fuckflix near you.
Mm.
As in, on your television, your Apple TV. And
most Fuckflixes are near you.
Here is the other one. Hold on while I pull up my poorly sketched out notes here.
List.
This one's just fun to say.
Okay.
This is a little movie called Pontypool.
Pontypool.
Pontypool. Pontypool. Oh, I love saying Pontypool.
I don't know about this.
Pontypool.
I don't know much about this.
Pontypool is a town, I believe it's in Quebec. It's a real place. I looked it up on my phone, on my Maps app. Pontypool.
Okay.
It's one day and 18 hours driving distance from me, Brian. Pontypool.
Okay.
Pontypool.
From you right now, from where we sit?
Yes. Okay. It's a zombie movie, which I'm not big on, but it's an inspirational movie in the sense that it, I think it was made for right around $1 million, maybe just over $1 million. It's almost all talky. However, when there are effects, they're really, really well done.
Okay.
And it takes place for the most part in the basement of a radio studio. And it's about a radio show, and it's about a virus that takes over the small little town. And you learn this very early on, so I'm not giving anything away. I can tell you this. I was still a little confused and had to read up on
it. Is this in French?
No. It's all in English, right, for the most part. Parts of it are really super, super creepy, like the same way Hitchcock would do creepy. And I don't like to use Hitchcock as an example very often, but the less is more. You don't see
when
you a whole
pull
lot.
It out. It's like pulling out a gun
and hearing the stuff that's going on
big knife.
Beyond the radio studio. But it's done very limited storytelling.
Okay.
It stars Stephen McCarty as Grant Mazzie, who's a kind of a washed up the cowboy guy.
Imus. Okay.
Kind of an Imus type character.
You just say Imus. Imus is washed up.
Yeah, I could say.
That's a good point.
Don't be mean to Imus. Poor
well,
Imus.
Imus is the washed up. Imus.
He's still on.
I think he's somewhere.
I think that this character has to
cowboy hat.
Grant Mazzie has to be kind of based on Imus. I'd have to think. This is a movie I should watch again. I was a little confused, not nearly as confused now that I've read quite a bit about it. But I think that if you allow yourself to, this is a movie that I would like you to watch, and then we could really talk about it at length. It's called Pontypool. Pontypool, and I think that there might be some much bigger ideas, much bigger implications than the original. Takeaway. I think it's a super, super clever script. Super hilarious. And honestly, when I was first watching it and when I saw the direction was going, I'm like, come on. No, that's stupid. It doesn't. I'm like, well, if it means that, then
Oh, that was interesting.
Yeah, and then I ended up spending, I cracked open a little booze, and I read till like 2 in the morning.
Nice.
I read for another couple hours about the movie.
Okay.
But not for the show, because I'm not going to talk about it. Right. I don't want to.
I'm going to need you to email me your list of movies so I can get to work on.
Here you go.
I don't take paper. I'm green.
Pontypool.
I'm green.
Here's the tagline for Pontypool. Shut up or die.
My God, your chicken scratch is amazing.
Shut up or die, bri.
Okay.
All right, let's go. End of the year. Last show of the year.
Let's wrap it up.
When is this airing? What's the date?
This will be after New Year's.
Will it be after?
Yeah.
This is the first year. This is not a worthy show of the first of 2014.
Well, we recorded ahead of time, so no one will give us any guff. I think we'll learn about some good movies, or at least we're re-informed about some good movies.
Yeah, but you know what? We're doing this like a week and a half ahead of time. What if like half these movies are off old fuck flicks come 2014?
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Well, that's why we gave so many.
Not well thought out.
That's why we gave so many.
Ryan.
There's no way
to take... What if Pontypool is gone? Pontypool. I kind of want to live in Pontypool just for a summer.
Just to say it.
Where do you live?
Hey, calling you from Pontypool.
I feel like Disneyland should have a whole land called Pontypool Land.
I can't believe we had Margin Call on our list again.
Well, it's a great fucking movie.
It is great.
So good.
Thank you guys for a great year, and cheers to another great year. And no gambling today. We'll pick it up next week. You want to hop top to bottom to top? Recap real quick?
So my list is all over the place.
Look online. Can't do AndersonandBryan.com. It's all right there. Yeah. Listen to look.
Wait, I know that. I'm just picturing one person going, well, I was kind of hoping because I got my Post-it now in the pens.
Fuck him or her. Probably him.
Here we go. Pontypool, my number one. Also, Grabbers, which I've been going on and on about for a while now. Get the Gringo was somewhere along there. I don't know. I remember what order. It's a Disaster, a great, hilarious comedy. David Cross in the Sunset Strip, a very good little documentary there. Margin Call, fantastic movie that Brian talked about and turned me off of, but then I came back around and watched it again. Sorry, buddy. Once Upon a Time in the West, Brian's favorite spaghetti western of all time.
Yeah.
Blackfish, Old Boy, Battle Royale. And that's all.
Good stuff. Salinger for me, a band called Death at number 5. At number 4, a tie with Sleepwalk With Me and Slums in Beverly Hills. At number 3, you can watch Headhunters and The Untouchables now. Clean Flicks, and this film is not yet rated, at number 2. And The Sapphires and Margin Call atop the list. Thank you, guys. Thank you to Logan. Thank you to everybody. The band, of course, The Split Infinitives. Check them out, AndersonandBryan.com. Go there. You know what? Amazon read this week, but we appreciate you guys. All the clicking through you did over the holiday break, it meant a lot to us.
What is that?
Over the holiday break. Over the holidays. Like
the holiday leading bricks? Up to, are you making fun of like pound cakes?
No. Well, no, fruitcakes. It's a holiday brick right
That's
there.
What I meant.
AndersonandBryan.com is where you go to click on that banner and to support all the advertisers. Who we will have in the future. Check out Sniff Track. Check out our feature artists.
Oh, yeah. You know what I should have done is Drive, my number one. Drive, instant streaming.
Drive.
My number one.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, we have a flick, Sniff Tracks over there.
Yeah, Drive.
If you have any interest in watching Drive.
Stream right
now. Sniff Tracking. Yeah.
Thanks again, you guys. Check us out Facebook, Twitter, and in the meantime...
Jonathan Mangold!